keeping you country company. Dakota Country, KOKK Huron.
With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. State volleyball tournaments are in their final day. Semifinals last night saw teams advance to the state championship. For the first time since 1999, the Huron Tigers will play for a state volleyball title. Huron in their semifinal last night with Sioux Falls Roosevelt won in straight sets 25-14-20 and 26-24. Huron controlled for the most part the first two sets, but then really battled in the third. Roosevelt was up 24-23 with a chance to force a fourth set, but then Huron took a timeout, then scored 3 points in a row to come away with the victory and the berth in the state tournament. Huron Tiger head coach Shelley Budenhagen said that Huron's state tournament experience, these girls have played on the stage before, helped out to wrap up that third set.
These girls are tough kids. I mean, a couple weeks ago with the ESD, but, last year at the state tournament, we had some really tough things. And I thought maybe I waited 1 point too long to call that timeout. But I just told them, look, here's the deal. We just got to gain momentum going in the fourth set. Nothing hurt. But I really think we're going to win this 26-24. And I believed it when I said it. Or maybe 27-25. But we just got to keep attacking because I thought, we served. We got tight. We had way too many serves. I thought we were trying to break a record on missed serves. But I know what we were trying to do, and we were trying to do the right thing. And that's okay. That's the effort. That's what you really worry about. But, we talked about how we were getting tight. Thus, we started tipping, and that's not our game tonight. We had to go after them. And so we just talked about coming out that timeout that we wanted to be aggressive and keep swinging where we thought the openings were going to be and then go after their hands on defense.
Huron will be matched up with undefeated Bishop O'Gorman. O'Gorman defeated Sioux Falls Washington straight sets, although every set went down to the wire. O'Gorman winning 25-21, 22, and 22. O'Gorman is undefeated at 25-0, although they have been pushed in the last 2 weeks. Huron goes in with a record of 8-4. Huron lost to O'Gorman back in September. I believe it was the day after Labor Day. O'Gorman won in 3 at O'Gorman. And Coach Budenhagen talks about the matchup with OG.
Well, we haven't seen them since early September. They're loaded. But we get to go in and have fun, right? And they have to go in and win a championship. I think that works for us. Sometimes it's harder to play when you're the top dog, and we found that out this year. It's been a grind. It's been a different position than we're used to a lot. We're here in Tiger Volleyball. But, what are we going to do? We're just going to go and have fun, right? I mean, that's what we've been doing here the last month. And they're a good team, and we get a chance to play against a really, really good team loaded with a lot of college talent in the state championship. We haven't been to a state championship since 1999. We're doing a lot of things. We're mirroring a lot of things that we've been doing in 1999 as far as pregame and stuff, but it's been a long time, and it's really an honor to be back.
Huron 18-4, O'Gorman 25-0 for the AA State Volleyball Championship tonight. We'll be on the air 6:40 pre-match, 7 o'clock start on Tiger 95. Again, those AA scores, O'Gorman defeats Washington 25-21, 22-22. Huron defeats Roosevelt 25-14, 25-20, 26-24. Consolation round, Aberdeen swept Harrisburg 25-23, 23-14, and Watertown went the full five to defeat Brandon Valley 25-21, 17-25, 25-16, 22-25, 15-11. Class A, Class B. Class B, of course, at the Huron Arena. Both those classes have a familiar feel in the championships. In Class B, Northwestern and Warner once again meet for the state title, I believe the third time in 4 years, and perennial rivals Dakota Valley and Sioux Falls Christian will play for the Class A championship. Class B semifinals last night, Northwestern took out Coleman Egan in straight sets, 25-18, 19, and 20. Warner defeated Chester in four sets, 23-25, 25-23, 25-18, and 25-19. The consolation round, Hitchcock Tulare maybe had a little Thursday night hangover after playing tough against Warner Thursday night. Fulton swept the Patriots yesterday afternoon, 25-18, 16, and 20. And Bridgewater Emory defeated Corsica Stickney in five sets, 25-17, 25-19, 14-25, 22-25, and 15-11. And in Class A, in Watertown, Dakota Valley defeated Parker straight sets 25-14, 15, and 18. Sioux Falls Christian defeated Hamlin again straight sets 25-10, 13, and 19. So here's the lineup for all three of the state volleyball tournaments today. Here in Huron, the Class B at the arena. Seventh place match, Corsica Stickney against Hitchcock Tulare. That's a 12 noon start. We'll be on the air 11:40 pre-match here on KOKK Consolation Championship, Bridgewater Emory and Fulton. Third place tonight at 6 o'clock, Coleman Egan plays Chester, and then the championship, Northwestern, plays Warner. In the Class A in Watertown, 7th place winner will play Hill City, while Rapid City Christian will play Madison. 3rd place match, Parker plays Hamlin, and the championship, Dakota Valley and Sioux Falls Christian. And the Double A today, the consolation round, 7th place, Harrisburg plays Brandon Valley. Consolation championship, Aberdeen and Watertown. 3rd place, 6 o'clock tonight, or 5 o'clock tonight, excuse me. Sioux Falls, Washington plays Sioux Falls, Roosevelt. Then the championship at 7 o'clock tonight, O'Gorman and Huron. And again, we'll have the match on the air on Tiger 95, 640 with the pre-match. And after tonight, the fall sports season will be in the books for South Dakota high schools. Was rocky going at many points for some schools, but we have made it through. And well, a lot of perseverance by all the athletes involved, but glad to see it through this far, and hopefully we can get off a winter sports season as well in these COVID times. Coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday today, we will talk here on athletics with AD Terry Roder. He talks about putting on this State B tournament at the arena amidst the pandemic, and then we'll talk with Huron Tiger lower-level volleyball coaches as Lizzie Kotz, Tyann Budenhagen, and Josh Lean will all join us to talk about their seasons on the bench for JV, sophomore, and freshman volleyball with the Huron Tigers. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
We start up Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll talk with Terry Roder, Activities Director of the Huron School District. He's also the manager of the State B tournament, which is in its final day today. Talked to him before the tournament about putting this tournament on in a pandemic. And first things, Coach, first time we've hosted State B volleyball in quite a few years.
The last time we hosted, I believe, was in 2016. So it's been 4 years. This is the fourth one that we've hosted since I've been the athletic director in 13 years. So very familiar with what the process is and what we need to do. But yes, there will be some changes in how it is run to keep everybody safe, but we think we can do it. We have a beautiful arena, seats enough people that people can social distance, and one of the things that is going to be required is spectators are going to have a mask on, so at all times. So that's just something that people need to be aware of.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my first question, mask at all times if you're attending the state volleyball tournament.
Yes, at all sites, Watertown, Brookings, and in Huron. So if you come in and you don't have one, there'll be masks at the door that they'll give to you, and then we expect the people to put the mask on. If they go to the concessions, obviously, to get something to drink or eat, they can pull it down while they're drinking and eating their their beverages and food, but otherwise we ask that they cooperate. We are simply just trying to keep everybody safe, keep the team safe, and try to get through the rest of the season.
Now, another change is the schedule itself, that night bracket, the evening bracket, has been pushed ahead an hour to 5 o'clock at all the sites. And, again, that's just a chance to keep people moving through there and then a little extra time to clean afterward.
Right. We went 2 hours in between matches, thinking that if a match lasts an hour, that some of the fans will probably leave, won't stick around for the second match. They're more than welcome to go upstairs and sit and wait and watch a second match. But that was part of the process of thinking on that. And also, to be done earlier tonight gives our cleanup crew more time to get it ready for the next day. That was absolutely the thinking on that part. Plus, we think that a lot of people are going to be driving back and forth, and so this will allow them to get off, you know, get on the road a little bit earlier and get home a little bit earlier that night.
And then I suppose for the most part, some of the other contingencies are things that you've been doing for Huron Tiger Volleyball all season long.
Yeah, you know, we send out the information that we've been following all year as far as where the hand sanitizer is by the water coolers on the head table when girls sub in and out. Make sure they put their mask on when they get back on the bench. Put hand sanitizer on before they come on the floor, when they go off the floor, those types of things. And we're moving some of our hand sanitizer stations around in the second floor corridor just to make sure that we have hand sanitizer everywhere in the arena. But for the most part, it's going to look very similar. We are going to block off the first two rows on each side of the bleachers. on the team side, we did this year for the Tiger games just to protect the players and give them a little bit more space that they can spread out on the team bench area. And on the other side where our students normally sit, we're going to block off the first two rows just to keep kids further away from the court. And also the first row is designated for media and for elderly, so we want to give them a plenty of space that people aren't standing right over their shoulders.
I know there was discussion at one time about teams maybe driving back and forth when possible instead of staying in the whole city, and that's for all three tournaments. But it sounds like for the most part, at least for Class B, everybody is staying in Huron.
The Crossroads is full, so everybody is staying in Huron. I know that our particular team in Brookings, we are going to travel to Brookings on Wednesday for our practice, and then we're going to come home because we don't play till Thursday night, and or Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock. That will allow our kids an opportunity to practice in Huron before they go back to Brookings, and then we are staying in Brookings on Thursday and Friday.
And just kind of get back to the spectator side of it again. You already mentioned a couple times here about mandatory mask at all three of the state volleyball tournaments. And it does sound like now if spectators want to watch matches that don't include the team that they're supporting, they are going to be allowed to do that?
Yes. So we're going to run the Bs in Huron just like we do the B basketball tournament. We are going to give the teams that are playing the bleachers on the floor, which will be more than enough space for all the adult spectators or student crowds to spread out as they wish. And when their match is over, we are going to clear the bleachers, and we are going to get those folks either out of the arena or upstairs and then bring in the spectators for the second match to allow them to sit in the bleachers and sit courtside for their game, just like we do for basketball. It works very well. We usually have the bleachers cleared out in a couple minutes, and we're going to have plenty of time to do that with the spread out of the schedule that we currently have. So, and then the spectators can either leave or they can either go upstairs with 4,000 permanent seats upstairs. There'll be plenty of room to go upstairs and watch the later match if that's what they choose to do.
And then I'm assuming, even though it is kind of close together, there is still a little extra time. So the afternoon and evening bracket, afternoon bracket, you will clear the arena at that time?
So we will clear the arena. We have a cleanup crew that's scheduled to come in at 3 o'clock. We only have an hour because the doors will open at 4, so we will work frantically in that 60-minute period to try to get all the garbage picked up, taken out. We'll disinfect the head table, the benches, the locker rooms, and we'll get everything, the common touch areas, wiped down the best we can before the next wave of people come in.
Terry Rodert, Activities Director for the Huron School District, as he's doing his part in tournament manager for the State B tournament, which wraps up today. Of course, all three tournaments will be wrapping up today, the AA in Brookings, the Class A in Watertown. We'll take a time out. We're going to review the lower level seasons for Huron Tiger Ball. We'll be back with freshman coach Lizzie Kotz next on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We're talking with Lizzie Kotz, the first-year coach of the Huron Tiger freshman volleyball team. Of course, a former Huron Tiger herself. We'll get to that here coming up in a bit. First off, though, Lizzie, just talk about this season. You had the freshman girls, and I know I say this to all the freshman coaches. Really, these girls are doing a lot of things new from all the travel they have to do. You practice on Wednesdays now, so there's a lot of adjustments for freshmen, freshmen any sport, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that the game, the speed of the game changes too at the freshman level. We didn't run a lot of quicks this year with our offense because the girls were still working on a lot of fundamental skills. But towards the end of the season, we were able to incorporate some of those quick routes that you typically see at like a varsity level for volleyball. So we focused mostly on fundamentals and just making it a developmental year.
And then not only that, another strike, and this is a strike against most everybody, was the fact that there was really not much for summer work this year, and at that startup level, that really hurts.
Yeah, and I didn't even get to meet the girls until after school started because of everything going on. But from what I understand, they were doing some summer workouts on Zoom with Coach Budenhagen, and then they missed out on a lot of that JO experience, a lot of those important reps that they get in other programs. So as soon as school started, we basically started our season fresh.
Let's go down the roster, talk about your girls. First off, what was some of the strengths of this team? Did you have some any size at all? Because granted, we're here on, we usually don't get a lot of that.
Yeah, I did have a few girls that were pretty tall. Ava Miller was a transfer over from James Valley Christian, and she's about 5'8", 5'9". She put up some really big blocks for us. And then I had Kenzie Simmons-Ma, too, who gave us a lot of height at the net in the middle. Ashley Cedarstrom was pretty tall, and she was instrumental in some of those blocks, too. The other girls, you know, they were about your average height, but they had some pretty good defensive footwork that helped us dig the other teams when we couldn't get a block up. So Ava, to start with Ava, she was a middle hitter. She improved a lot this year on her, I would say, her aggressiveness with her hits. She started the year a little bit timid, and then by the end of the year, she was making some really big swings, scoring a lot of kills for us. And then I had Kiki Eaglestar, who started as a libero. I didn't like using her as a libero right away because she was a strong strong offensive player, but she was one of our best defensive players, so I had to keep her in that jersey, and she put up a lot of digs for us. She really extended her range by the end of the season. Jalen Hamilton's next. Jalen Hamilton was a setter for us and one of our strongest servers. There was one game where she came in and she served about 15 points in a row. And then I had Ireland Henrich. Ireland Henrich was a setter for us as well. She was out for part of the season with a little bit of a knee injury, but she came back really strong. We really enjoyed having her on the court because she's got the volleyball IQ. She's able to put the ball in gaps and just really strategically understand what's going on the other side of the court. Kelsey Schuthart was one of our outside hitters and our outside defenders. She got really well at getting her shoulders turned and making sure that the ball finds the court in bounds. We struggled at the beginning of the year with hitting some out of bounds, and she really corrected that by the end of the year. And I loved having her in the left back because I knew she was a player that I could trust to dig the ball back there. Christina Johnson was another outside hitter and an outside left back. Christina got a lot better at going for the ball, pursuing the ball. She was a little bit timid of the floor at the beginning of the season, and by the end of the season, she was beating the ball all the way to the floor, making some really big digs for us. And she was a very consistent server as well. Sydney Severson was a very good outside for us. She was very vocal. She was one of the strongest talkers on the team, and she had really good energy. So not only was she, like her hitting percentage was pretty high. She didn't make too many errors, but she also led the team in, you know, cheering each other on and picking each other up when the going got tough.
Ashley Sederstrom was another middle for me. She probably had the most blocks by the end of the season in the middle front. Ashley was able to read the other hitters and kind of beat them to the net, so she was able to put up some strong blocks for us in the front. Deja Claguette was a outside hitter for us, a left side hitter and back row attacker or back row defensive player. And Deja was one of the strongest leaders on the team. Not only was she a strong hitter and a strong server, but she was also really good at being a role model for her teammates and kind of showing the girls what needed to be done and picking them up when needed. Same thing with Madison Hirschman. Madison Hirschman was another setter, and she was a really good leader as well. She was very vocal on the court. She was good at picking her teammates up. She was good at, you know, keeping their heads on level when things got tough and just getting the job done. Madison had really good sets all year, and she worked her tail off all season long to get some really good sets up to her hitters all season, so she did really well. And then I have Kenzie Simmonsma. Kenzie Simmonsma was another middle hitter for me. Kenzie did a good job with everything too, blocking, hitting. Her serving was one of her focus points at the beginning of the season. She couldn't consistently get a ball over the net, and then by the end of the season, Kenzie's serving got a lot better. There were some times at practice where Kenzie would serve at her girls, and the girls would say, "Watch short," and then Kenzie would drop a deep one in because she got a lot of strength as the season went on.
Again, we're talking with Lizzie Kotz as we're reviewing the freshman season of Huron Tiger volleyball. We're going to have a few more points with the team, but Lizzie, I want to get to you first off here. You're a former Huron Tiger, as I said. You're class of 2014, Final Four team that year. You were the Libro there. Now you're coaching volleyball back in your hometown. I assume from your experience there playing volleyball, that was kind of your springboard saying, "I want to stay with the sport."
Yeah, absolutely. Shelley built a really strong foundation in volleyball for me when I was in high school, and I had such a positive experience playing volleyball, getting to hang out with my teammates, and I kind of wanted to be a positive influence for these girls going into coaching, so I knew it was something I wanted to do to stay connected to the sport and kind of be able to give back to what they gave to me.
And tell us how you got here. I believe what Northern State, and then and you actually coached with that blue and gold Aberdeen team for a couple years.
Yep. So I went to Northern after high school, graduated and got a job in Aberdeen. I taught middle school science, and I coached the sophomore volleyball team in Aberdeen, and then an opening opened in Huron for the same thing, middle school science and high school volleyball, so I applied, and luckily I got the job, and I'm excited to be back with the Tigers.
Well, let's get back to the team. Two more things on this team. First off, just when you're running down that roster, sounds like you did have a good number of girls out. Now, that's the biggest thing now is retention. Keep these girls moving up a level.
Yeah, definitely. I encourage them all to play volleyball again next year, and they all seem like they're interested in it. And I stress the importance of staying active in the off season too. But we had a different theme every week this year at practice, whether it was like sportsmanship or being grateful that we got to have a season. So I kind of tried to tell them too that, you know, you don't just get to be in shape from playing sports, but you get to learn a lot of important life lessons too. So volleyball is a great way to do that.
And the final one for you here, what are some of the things these girls you want to see work on so they are better, so they are helping later in the evening each volleyball day?
Sure. I want to see next season, I want to see them have a little bit better transition, so getting some quick feet and getting off the net behind their setter so they can get some strong attacks, and then working on increasing their verticals, increasing their strength, everything that they would get from other sports too, like hand-eye coordination, reaction time. Reaction time is a huge one in volleyball. You got to make some really quick instant plays, so just developing any skill they can to make them stronger next year.
Lizzie Kotz, former Huron Tiger, now back at her home school and freshman coach this year for Huron Tiger volleyball. More coming up. We'll continue with the volleyball theme. We'll talk sophomore volleyball with head coach Josh Lee next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, continuing our review of Huron Tiger volleyball, talking with sophomore coach Josh Lean. The Huron Tiger sophomores finished with a record of 9-9 on the season, really rallying there towards the end of the season. And Josh, just an overview of the season. It was a rough start with this squad, but give it credit, you used the season to get better, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, knowing that we practice just like everybody else, we hit the gym hard every day. And obviously got better. I'll credit the girls simply because any other year we probably wouldn't get to focus on us as sophomores because we're busy supporting the JV and supporting the varsity. But with COVID, Coach Buddenhagen made the decision to have the sophomore team practice at the high school. I thought it was brilliant. It kept us away from the JV varsity, helped us social distance a little bit, but allowed us to focus on us. And ultimately as a team, I think as we went through late August, early September, we started turning a corner in October and really played some decent sophomore level volleyball in November. So,
and as I remember right, you didn't have a lot of coming and going on the roster, which is a little unusual. You did have a few girls step in there towards the end of the season, but that also helps that stability.
It does, yeah. We 7-8 girls that were there every single day at every practice, and that really was a nice change for me, although I'm committed to Tiger Volleyball, and I'll coach whoever shows up on whatever day. That's an awesome challenge for us, but we did have an opportunity for some stability this year, and that showed, I think, through our results. It really allowed me to challenge the girls differently than I would normally have been able to. You know, we actually, because we live in the world of COVID at the moment, every school puts all their matches online somewhere, you know, for grandma and grandpa to watch. So we were actually able to put a small scouting report together against other sophomore teams, and I was able to prepare the girls, getting them ready for that next level where you're going to learn about scouting reports and tendencies and things like that. And so I think, like I said, by the time October and November came around, we were better because of all of that, and it truly did show in the 7 or 8 girls that I was able to commit to for the season.
Well, let's just run down that roster, talk about each girl, a little bit about what they gave to your team.
Will do, yeah. Emma Ross comes to mind right away. She played libero for us. She did have to do a little bit of hitting. As you can imagine, our lineup changed quite a bit throughout the season based on who was available and who wasn't, COVID or non-COVID related. You never really knew who you were going to have. But Emma was libero as a freshman. We brought her over and played her libero as a sophomore, and she really did a nice job for us. I know that she was consistent. She really passed the ball well, and of course in volleyball you play as good as you pass, and she led the charge there. So I appreciated Emma's efforts this year wearing the other colored uniform and really sticking out for us. Madison Schroeder, sophomore, she played right side hitter for us this season. I don't know if I can speak highly enough about Madison's volleyball IQ. Of course she's third in a line of volleyball sisters, right, with Cam and Krissa, and you can just tell she's been around the game a long time. She knows, you know, what to do with the volleyball. She's very smart, and then she anticipates well because, again, she's seen a lot more volleyball than some of her teammates. So she's in the right spot at the right time, really benefited us off that right side pin. Sydney Overbay, another sophomore. She started out the season playing middle. I moved her outside later in the season as we started to develop. Part of that was based on a gut instinct. Part of it was based on need. And she really kind of started developing as an outside hitter. Really strong approach. Started beating other teams. And her value, if I could have, she didn't have a lot of confidence playing back row, which hopefully we can develop in the offseason and into next year. But really, as an offensive player, really was a great kid to have shooting balls at the other team. We look down the list. We had Ariana Rodriguez. She started on our team as an opposite. Then we moved her outside. I think once she got comfortable, and we taught her to stay inside of herself. You know, she's not the tallest hitter on our team by any means, and so she had to be very creative with the volleyball. And once we taught her some really smart shots, she was able to beat defenses just being a smart offensive player. And I really appreciated that about her as well. We do want, you know, shout out to Ariana and her family. You know, Ariana's stepdad deployed this year, and so we were really sensitive to that, and Ariana played through that, and I think her presence on our volleyball team and our volleyball team's presence in her life really got her through, you know, what tends to be a hard time for kids. I'm obviously sensitive to that as a service member myself, so thanks to Ariana and her family with being a military family. That's a big deal to me. That brings us down to Emma Miller. She's new to Huron Volleyball this year. Her and her sister Ava came over from JVC, and she was really a bright spot. You know, she had a lot of things to learn to be, you know, Tiger Volleyball ready, but at the end of the day, her personality blended in wonderfully with this group of sophomores. So what did we do with Emma? Just about everything. She did play a little bit of libero, played a little bit of outside hitter when I needed her to, played defensive specialist throughout the kind of final push in November, but she was really a nice addition, and you know, it's always nice to get good kids. Volleyball aside, it's nice to put good kids on your team and build programs around good kids, and Emma Miller certainly added to that for us. Cadence Cheddar handled a lot of the setting duties early, and then based on need, she transitioned to be a back row player, played a little bit of right side hitter, really was just, you know, kind of a leader for us. She kind of made sure we stayed on target and stayed on task and really led by example. Whatever I needed her to do, she would do. And when it came to scoring points in critical moments, Cadence always seemed to be close to the ball, which you're always looking for kids who... So credit to Cadence for just being that kid who was always around the volleyball when the point was needed to be scored. And then lastly, I had more kids than that play on the team, and maybe I'll run through them quick, but lastly, the staples who were there, Zoe Martin was our final. And again, I'm going to qualify her as a hitter. You know, we moved her across the net regardless of what needed to happen. And she showed up every day and just was interested in getting better. And it was always nice to have a kid like that who pushed not only herself but her teammates. And you know, to be honest, if I had to guess, if teams were putting scouting reports together against the sophomore team, I'm pretty sure they weren't, but if they would have been, Zoe would have been one of the players they would have had to try to figure out how to defend, because she was just versatile and could score points in various different ways. So Zoe Martin, that kind of rounds up the crew that I had every day. Of course, you throw in hitters like Carson Kaufman and Isabel Elwine, who we had a chance to bring down and play once in a while. They were highlights to the team. You bring down the eighth grader Addison Moore, came across and played some matches with us. She brought a spark to our defense that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And then, of course, we finished the team with Hampton Hines, who dropped down to the sophomore team, had an opportunity to do some setting for us, and really rounded out our team in October and November. and put together, you know, we played the last four matches of our season as if we were in the postseason as a sophomore team. SODAC 16, round one, round two, and round three of the state tournament. That's how we framed our last four games. And nobody probably cares about it but us, but we were sophomore state champs because we went 4-0 through that last four stretch, and that's it allowed us to focus on that as a group. And really, again, I hope that if I'm doing my job, I'm preparing the athletes to play at the next level for the JV and or the varsity. And so hopefully that mindset benefits them down the road. And what a good group to have to be a part of, and what an opportunity.
You know, talking with Josh Ween, sophomore coach for Huron Tiger Volleyball. They finished the season 9-9, and hope I'm not talking out of turn here, but as everybody knows, you are full-time guards, part-time coach, and I did the pandemic, which just, you know, did everything that we do with living. Did that have a effect on would you be able to coach, you know, that sort of thing with maintaining your full-time guards?
I would say that, you know, what it did do is it created, much like everybody else, a lot of chaos in my organization, and not chaos in a bad way, but a lot of additional requirements. You know, the guard has supported Governor Noem in her efforts to fight the pandemic here in South Dakota, and that's created an increase in my requirement at work on a day-to-day basis. If anything, that took time away from me being able to coach. Not necessarily made it impossible, but certainly made, you know, my focus had to be where, you know, in the right place at the right time. And some days I would joke with the girls because some days I'd get to practice and the Army had already used up all my patience. And I smiled, the girls smiled at me, and they knew that wasn't the day, right? They knew they had to work hard that day. But other days of, you know, when I had extra patience to give, I let the girls use a little bit of it. But no, I would say as a full-time guardsman, I feel like I'm lucky to be able to coach in Huron. I'm lucky the school district allows me to do that. And I'll be honest, when it comes to being a coach and being you know, a leader in the organization in which I'm at, I'd like to think that being good at one makes me better at the other. And I think coaching makes me a better soldier, and then vice versa. So I appreciate the opportunity, even if some days it was, you know, chaotic for sure.
Well, let's get back to volleyball. One last thing, this group, 9-9, so that's a good springboard for them to next year because six seniors will go off the varsity team. There are spots open. There are spots available. What are some of the things these girls need to work on to play at 7 o'clock next year?
Sure. Well, you know, as a coach, and, you know, I'm a former head coach as well, you know, you always think, man, that's a pretty long list, because you don't ever really probably believe that they're ready to step up. But I'm telling you, what it really boils down to is out-of-season and work ethic. They need to get bigger. They need to get faster. They need to get stronger. So that, to me, sounds a lot like gym time. They need to get in the weight room. Our verticals need to increase. Our foot speed needs to get better. And, you know, because Coach Budenhagen, both of them, Shelly and Tyann, they expect them to be ready when they get to that level. They expect them to be able to, you know, attack at levels above the net, to be able to get to balls that, and this year, as sophomores, you know, the game isn't that fast. So they need to play fast volleyball, and they need to get bigger, faster, stronger in the weight room. And I think those two things will give them a better chance to being able to play at 7 o'clock next year.
Josh Lean, coach of the Huron Tiger softball volleyball team, coming off a 9-9 season. We'll wrap things up. Talk Huron Tiger JV volleyball next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Tiger 95 and 1340 KIJV are your home for Huron Tiger sports.
Brooke Schilt will serve at match point. Her jump serve across back row. Denovan will bump it ahead. Here's the hit by Ward up the middle. Nice play, Bryn Huber. Here's the bump over to McKenna Moore. Her hit caught. Huron Tigers are going to the championship. McKenna Moore with the deciding kill. Huron wins in three. Huron and O'Gorman for the championship.
Double A state championship volleyball tonight. Huron Tigers O'Gorman Knights 6:40 pre-match on Tiger 95.
The Huron Tigers on Dakota Sports KIJV, 1340 AM and 95.3 FM.
Hi, this is Danny Gladden, Minnesota Twins Radio Network, and you are listening to Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
And we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, continuing to review the sub-varsity levels of Huron Tiger Volleyball this past season. Tyann Budnagan, the JV coach, they came out of the season with a record of 11-8. And Tyann, I guess the first thing with your squad, typical of a JV, they really don't practice together. They get the varsity ready for their match. And to say your roster's in transition is usually an understatement.
Yeah, we had a lot of moving around this year because of COVID, so we ended up with seven girls playing at the end, so it was tough.
Yeah, I think it seems to me, I even remember maybe it was sophomore, even had six players once or twice as well, so the good thing about that is there's plenty of playing time for everybody.
Right, and we were young, so it helped out the young kids gain playing time, not hogging by the older kids, so it was good.
Let's run down the roster and just talk about the girls and what they brought to your team.
All right, so number one was Carson Kaufman. Number three was Reese Roselle. Number five, Peyton Schuchart. Number six, Bryn Huber. Number 12, Heaven Ganey. Number 15, Isabel Elwine. Number 17, Addison Moore. And number 23, Jazz McGurr.
And talk about those girls, some of the things they brought to your team.
Jazz was probably our best junior player because she could play all the way around. She could hit, she could set, she could pass, she could do it all. Bryn Huber was our main setter. She did get bumped up to the libero spot, so she was taken away from us, so Jazz had to fill that in, but Jazz did great. Our outsides were Reese and Heaven. They were probably our top hitters. They were ready to go when we needed them. They knew how to get a kill, and they knew how to pass in the back row on the left. Carson and Isabel were new middles this year. They did outstanding for where they were at the beginning of the year. And Peyton got to play at the end, and she did awesome. She was a role player. She knew where she needed to be and what she needed to do.
You know, and that's the thing, as I said, with JV, they really don't practice a lot together. If anything, they're mimicking the team that the varsity is going to play next. But, again, the reward for that hard work is playing that first match of the day.
Right. And I give kudos to my eighth grader that was a libero. She took some tough serves and tough hits, and she did awesome. So.
And that's the thing, too. You know, at some points in the season, you never really knew for sure who you were going to have available. And because of that, well, you just had to make the mesh work. And obviously, these girls did a great job of working together.
Yep, and that's why we pass and work on it every day, and so we have somebody to step in when we need it.
Now we're going to ask a few varsity questions, and these will be fun. First off, three Budnagans on the bench, one on the floor, two on the bench. Do you feel sometimes that you were kind of the Switzerland between the coach and the player?
Probably when I lived in their house, yes. But after I moved out, I kind of got to fan out of that and let them deal with that. But I think Timely can come to me whenever she needed to, and I could relay that message.
And one other thing, too, and I've been thinking about this, all season, I wanted to ask you this. What's been more stressful, planning a wedding that's been postponed twice during a pandemic or coaching volleyball with your mother during a pandemic?
I would actually say still going to college and working, planning a wedding, and coaching. So college work first, and then it'd probably be volleyball.
That's right. I forgot about it. You're still in college. Is the stretch run there? I didn't think anybody would go longer than my kid.
We're getting to the ends. I already have a bachelor's and master's, but we're just trying to get some teaching degrees. So.
And you are what are you teaching? You're in the middle school now, right?
I am teaching special education in the sixth grade.
And that is what your degree, the degree you're going for as well?
Yes, I'll have elementary ed and then SPED.
You know, we're talking to Tyann Budnagan, the JV coach, soon to have a different last name, but I think we all know that. Let's get back to the JV finally. And, you know, these girls, many of these are going to be counted on to play at 7 o'clock next year to help out that varsity. What are some of the things you want to see these girls work on to be better and be at that spot next year?
I think their leadership and just getting more communication out of them. They know what to expect in practice and what it's going to be like. So if we can just get them to where they need to be on the passing level, the hitting level, and just getting them to do leadership, we'll be okay.
Next week, Tyann Ulmer. This week, still Tyann Budnagan, head coach of Huron Tiger JV Volleyball. Huron Tigers getting set for a state championship match tonight with O'Gorman. You can hear that on Tiger 95 once again at 6:40 pre-match, 7 o'clock start. Coming up later today here on KOKK, Hitchcock-Tuler in the seventh-place match of the Class B tournament at the arena, 11:40 pregame, as they play Corsica Stickney to wrap up their season. Lots of volleyball on the air tonight. Coming up shortly, Mike Hendrickson in South Dakota sports history. Up next, though, is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.